Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of the Shenibrook MP Team Podcast. You're here with me, Mr. Southwell. Mr. Nash is with us this morning.
Good morning.
And we are starting a new topic today. What are we covering?
We're coming away from nutrition. We've done a few weeks on nutrition, maybe mainly for our BTEC National students. And we thought we'd have a look at a topic that's relevant to Year 9, Year 10, the students doing the BTEC, the students doing the Leadership Diploma, and it's all looking about what makes a good festival stroke sports session.
Yeah.
How do you run a great session?
So lots of criteria available for them to complete, and really it's all about taking individual control of a group.
Yeah.
Which is a tough thing to do.
Oh yeah, at the ages they are, what we're talking, 14, 15, 13, some of these, you know, are out there and leading a group of students. Now we know the students have come up with from the primary school, so they're 7, 8 years of age, and they will look up to you. I say that to everyone that ever does these things, they will look up to you.
Literally, so, they will look up to you.
Yeah, they will. I mean, I struggle with yourself when I look down at some of those. But these children will look at you as an idol. Oh, these are the big kids at the local secondary school. And they'll listen to everything you say, probably more so than they listen to their own teachers sometimes. Because they're only there for a small period of time. They want to do lots.
It's very it's difficult things to do at such a young age. Mm. But the most difficult part is the build-up to it. Because when you lead your own peers, that is one of the hardest things to do.
It is. I agree with you. I think it's that. Do you remember when you were at university, training to be a teacher, PE teacher, quite often you'd do sessions where you had to run sessions for your peers.
Yeah.
And it was the most nerve-wracking thing. I'd have done any teaching practice, but working with your peers, you knew later on, somewhere else outside of that session, you were going to get a stick for what you did.
Of course. It happens all the time now as well. You think in our context, we have to do work with staff on training days, different meetings. It's a very hard thing to do. So the build-up to that is definitely harder than the real thing. So the actual festival part is really simple.
Yeah, and I think when you get to that festival, you see the fun on people's faces. Our students, out there smiling, looking forward to it, and you relax into it.
I think that's really important. I think there's a process to go through to get there. The first of that is probably planning.
Yeah, I think planning out. I mean, any great leader or anyone who's great at running a session is going to be clear about what they're trying to achieve.
Mm.
And that's that plan.
Yeah, I always say the more planning you put in, the easier delivery is.
Yeah,
I think that's really important. The more time you commit into it, the easier it is in the day.
Absolutely. I think setting out your objectives, your aims of what your session is going to entail. You know, so we're going to be doing today, we're going to look at football, but what is it you want to get from that session? If it is just to play a game, have fun, that's a fine objective for Year 9 and 10 to run a session. But if you're looking at a skill and specifically want to work on something, what is it you want to work on? That's your first thing.
Yeah.
You've got to be clear. And you're going to be working in groups of fours, fives, sixes. So you've all got to agree that. Because I think one of the worst things that can happen is if you're all trying to go off in different directions.
Yeah, everyone's got that shared idea. And if somebody's working in a different way to someone else, it makes the whole thing that little bit harder.
It does.
You came back to the points about if you were teaching a specific skill. The other part of that is you've got to know how to deliver that skill. So everybody in your group's got to be comfortable delivering it. And this is where you can start to get differences in the way you deliver. Someone might have a really technical session about really intricate turns and different things like that. You need to know how to do them.
Mm.
So it's all good being able to demonstrate it, but you've got to be able to break it down to little chunks. Little Johnny, as we always call him, might struggle first time with it. You need to break it down to steps for that child.
You're right. I mean, I think that's part of what the practice is in your practical lessons. It's about practicing your session. What are the key things you need to say to be able to get them to do what you want them to do?
Mm.
And one of the groups I'm working with every other week, talking to them about almost, it's like writing a script.
Yeah.
Word for word, especially when you're first doing this. What is it you really want to say? Have a script written out. Treat it like you're doing a performance for drama. You know, you've got your lines. Everyone's got their lines. What are you going to be saying? And over time, it will become easier.
Hmm.
When you've practiced that over and over again, you'll come away from the script and you'll realise, I can do this myself. But start off with having everything mapped out on a plan.
I think that's really important. And again, we go back to our idea of a session plan, that planning things out. On that session plan, you can have a number of things. I think understanding the group you're going to be working with, you can get any background information at all. That's really going to help you. If you plan a very basic skill session, then all of a sudden your group turn up and they're actually pretty handy at what they're doing. That's going to make your session almost obsolete, and the enjoyment factor is going to go down. So again, something that's really important. The other part of that is your equipment. I think that's another one.
Oh, the equipment is, and obviously when we do the festivals here, we have a lot of groups all running into our stores and trying to claim every bit of equipment. And I think it's part of being fair to others is to make sure, and it comes with that plan, that script, exactly what you need. Do you only need 7 cones to run your activity?
Yeah.
Then take 7. Don't take the whole rack. And then you know you've got the stuff and you know you can count it back in at the end. You know you've returned everything that you've borrowed. And then have my advice to anyone doing this is have a good look around our stores.
Yeah, don't just go for the football straight away.
Yeah, because we have lots of stores at this school and lots of little hidden gems of things you think that would be brilliant to try out with a group or do something with.
Yeah, some of the best ones I've seen have used some of the most sort of random equipment.
Yeah.
I think you can the things you can do with skipping rope besides skipping...
Mm.
You can get loads of things out of it. Skateboards we've seen used.
Yeah, skateboards.
We've seen like the little tubes you can crawl through, like
trucks
and tyres, you can get those as well. All those things add to the enjoyment factor. You'd be amazed the number of times that we see these sessions done and it's just football or it's just dodgeball. And the enjoyment factor of some of those kids is going to drop off.
Yeah, I think if they're doing something and using equipment they've never seen before, suddenly it's exciting.
It's really exciting, yeah.
Oh, look, we've got an obstacle course which involves tyres, skipping ropes, tunnels, nets that we pulled out, the goal nets and laid out. Those are the sorts of things that kids want to come and do.
It does, because they could just do whatever they're doing at their own school. They're coming up to you for an experience, and I think you've got to give them that experience. And the enjoyment factor of those kids is how you know if you've been successful or not.
Yeah.
That's a really, really important part of it as well. I think the next part of it is probably something about objectives, really, and just knowing what it is you want to achieve.
Yeah.
We touched
on
it a minute ago, but what about objectives?
I think you've got the objectives and you're building that equipment list, and you're building, everything goes together. So you've got the objectives of what you want to achieve in that session, what you want those kids to get out of it. And on in your booklet you do for this unit, or whatever you do, you've got a lesson plan in there.
Yeah.
And a lesson plan really helps you structure your thoughts. And it starts with at the top. Once you know how many students you've got, how many people... exactly sort of the amount of male, females, things that come out. The next thing under the big box is objectives.
Mm.
And that's because that's your starting point for anything. It's any good, like I said earlier on, any good leader starts off with structuring their vision. And that's your vision for your session.
It's got to be clear as well. And again, it doesn't have to be really complex. No. You haven't got to get a group of year 5 and 6 playing lovely in a 4-4-2 with height and windbacks. It's just got to be something simple.
Yeah.
It could be something simple as enjoyment in the session. Make sure every student is enjoying the session, or you affect every student, you speak to every student, or something like getting them into small games, breaking down a skill. Just be really clear of your objectives, make sure they're shared amongst the group, and then you're away. It's really simple from that. Next part of that process is going to be the actual session plan itself, that are the main content.
Yes.
And this is where you've got to include that step-by-step guide. That is what that bit's all about.
Timing's coming to this.
Yeah.
Now, timings are important, but not the be-all and end-all.
No.
You know, it's, if you run a little bit over, don't panic, or if it goes a little bit shorter. Mm. But getting your timings right will help you be able to enable everyone in your group to lead, because obviously you're going to be working, like I said earlier, on 5s, 6s, whatever, and everyone needs the chance to lead to be able to achieve the criteria for this unit. And so you need to balance it out, but at the same time, that's what all the practice is every week. You're practicing every week, and then you can get your timings right.
Yeah.
So you know that the warm-up does take 6 minutes. The first bit of your main content when you're teaching a little bit of skills about, I don't know, you're teaching how to catch.
Mm.
So you're going, right, I'm going to spend 5 minutes on how to catch, how to throw. Now I'm going to move this into a game which somebody else in my group is going to lead, and they've got 5 minutes. And if you try and give everyone an equal amount of time, it makes it fair.
Yeah.
It enables everyone to be able to lead. It enables everyone to be able to show off what they've learned over the past 6 weeks building up to these festivals.
There is that bit of timing as well that you can't practice until the day.
Mm.
And that's the timing of the students coming in. So when we give you control of these sessions, you have got complete control.
Yeah.
From the moment you see that minibus turn up from that school, those students are yours.
Yeah.
And that includes going to meet them at the gate, meeting and greeting, bringing them onto the field, sitting them all down, distributing them into groups. Because you've got to visualise, you're going to have 100 kids easily all sat there. You've got to divide them up into lots of different groups because there's 4 classes, but there might be 5 groups in your 1 class. All of that's got to be accounted for. And that's the timings that you can't predict. So your actual session timings have got to be pretty good. And you've got a little bit of leeway over side. So for what will be 100 minutes, it's going to go really quickly.
Yeah, it will go very quickly as soon as they're here. And you'll realise that sometimes these children don't move as quick as you had hoped.
No.
And that's where that flexibility's got to play a big part.
Yeah.
And schools are complicated entities, and they, you know, they don't always show up on time because something else has happened or something else is going on. And so you have to, that flexibility is important. So that's timings.
Yeah.
That's the main content. And you're working through your session. That's where it builds in your equipment list, and you can probably write your equipment next to each section.
Yeah, definitely. That way
content.
It's easy then, yeah.
Yeah, so you know exactly what you're using at that time. I would also say what really helps, you know, we said earlier on about script, what also helps is diagrams.
Yeah.
Sketches of what it's going to look like. So little crosses to represent cones and people moving, arrows pointing, things, visual things that will help you remember. And also, on the day, when you run your session, I'm not marking anyone as a fail for bringing their lesson plan out with them.
No, I would recommend it.
I would 100% recommend. Have it in front of you. Even if you've got it, a little version of it, fold up in your pocket, or just fold up in, and you bring it out and take it out, great. That means to me you're prepared and you're ready to go. Have a look at it.
You've always got to be prepared. Imagine if there's a flu outbreak right before your session and then five of your group aren't there. If you're left by yourself and you haven't read the session plan, you're in trouble.
You've got to make sound cut for a whole 100 minutes.
Which is tough.
Yeah.
So you've got to really make sure you all know the session plan. Very simple. All get together in your group. It's going to be the similar session plan. The only thing difference might be your individual role in it as well. Yeah. So make that really, really clear.
So we've got diagrams, we've got main content,
we've got
the timings, we've got the equipment.
The only probably bit we want to cover is probably the warm-up and the cool-down.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that.
Two important bits of the session, because the warm-up's going to be the first thing practically you do with the group. Mm. So if you go out there and do a boring warm-up, it's going to probably
set
put the kids
tone
in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So if you want to try and avoid, right, go and jog around the square, you want to try and make games really, really fun. And this is where probably your expertise comes in, Mr. Because you're very good at turning games into very, very fun versions.
I think that you're bang on with the warm-up, because it is their first experience of it. And there is no need for these primary kids coming up here to do a run and a static stretch.
No.
We don't need to see this. They're not elite athletes. They want to come out and have fun. So games that we play, things like Foxes and Hounds.
Toilet tag,
okay? Cross the Golden River.
The Bean Game.
All these things are just fun straight away in. Everyone's laughing, all right? The children at our school are laughing as they're leaving it because they're doing stupid beans while they're jumping around.
Yeah.
And then the other kids are like, wow, look at the big kids doing it as well. And they enjoy it as well. And so start with just a fun game. Now, the beauty of today, you can Google games, warm-up games.
And there's thousands.
Thousands of fun warm-up games for primary schools. And so there's no reason why you can't go, I've just stolen Mr. Nash's games.
There are hundreds out there.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same with the cool-down as well. You want to make it fun. It is not about, they're not elite athletes coming in. You've got to train and bring their heart rate down to 15 beats a minute. It's got to be just something fun. And it's more about mentally warming them up and cooling them down. Just making sure that they're settled to go away at the end, but really get up for your session at the beginning. Yeah. And I think you made a good point in there as well about being involved in a session. If your role isn't part of that session yet, if you're coming on later on in the session, get involved. The little kids will have nothing more than seeing what they perceive to be adults getting involved in the session.
Mm.
It makes them want to take part in it.
Yeah,
anytime I get involved in a PE lesson, the kids engage in it more because they can see you doing it. They can appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, we want to avoid people stood around the sides, hands in pockets, because at that time you're always being assessed. That's really important.
Yeah, we want to see you involved.
Mm.
And we know from experience those who get involved enjoy it more and the children enjoy it more. So everyone's involved, brilliant stuff.
I think it's dead easy that way.
So that's pretty much your session planned and ready to go. On the day, I think, things you need to consider. Think about the safety of yourselves and the children.
Yep.
You know, we know for these summer festivals, they're all out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, one of the things we encounter is litter, you know, because people eat food out in the fields. And it's a case, before you start, check your area, pick anything up, put it in the bin, check your equipment safe, all right? Check you're wearing the right clothes.
Yep.
I think one of the things we haven't touched upon is you are going to be that role model to them. So
yeah, that's one of those skills and qualities.
Yeah, I don't want to see people coming out in their school uniform going, I forgot my PE kit, sir.
No.
You know, we don't show up wearing our jeans and T-shirt and going, sorry, I forgot to put shorts and T-shirt on today.
And it's wearing the kit in the right way as well.
Yeah.
You know, you pull your trousers up all the way, you know, your shirt is tucked in, that's what we want to see. And again, it's all about those bringing those skills and qualities in that you've probably started writing them out already into that session. You do need to go and check your equipment.
Yeah.
You need to do that before. That's not going to magically happen. Mm. You might need to put some time in before. You want to make sure that if your session is during period 5 or 6, that you use a bit of lunchtime to get ready. If it's 3 and 4, you go in at break time to get ready as well. Yeah. Really, really important things.
Absolutely. And I think if you do all these things, I think the most important thing will come from this, and it'll be that everyone has fun.
Yeah, that is your main success and like objective of this whole thing, to make sessions fun.
Yeah, I mean, and the children will walk away smiling, and we've always had good feedback from the teachers, from the other schools going, it's brilliant to see these. And then a lot of the teachers have come up, taught those our year 10s, year 9s, when they were in primary, and they look at them and go, that's amazing.
We've had a lot of feedback on Twitter. Whenever we post anything out about our students leading, the likes of Longmeadow and Emerson Valley always tweet us back and go, we can spot our ex-students.
That's brilliant.
And that's what you want to see. So simple success criteria, and hopefully a little bit of guidance there on putting your sessions together, things we expect to see from your groups, how you're going to pick up the marks in the day.
Absolutely.
Really, really simple stuff, and I think we've covered it pretty well there.
Yeah.
That's going to be us for this week.
Another episode done,
and we'll be back for one more before our half-term break. We'll see you guys next week.
See you later.